Good morning. Today we begin reading the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Thessalonians, starting now with chapter 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. This is the word of the Lord. Father, please bless the reading of your word to our hearts for your dear name's sake. Amen. I would read some commentaries on the verses illustrated by Pastor Chuck Smith, and I would also read the illustrations from the Life Application Study Bible. It's a very rich reading that we did, and I pray that each one of us would be guided as we seek to grow closer in our walk with God. And here's what Pastor Chuck Smith would have said from verse 1. He explained about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ is not his first, middle, and last name. Often we think of Lord as the name for Jesus. His name is Jesus. His title is Lord. When you say Lord, you are saying he is your master. You are the servant. It implies obedience. The name Jesus is the Greek adaptation of the Hebrew name Joshua or Yahshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. It is a beautiful name. When the angel instructed Joseph, he said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins, according to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. His name implies his mission. He came to save us from our sins. The word Messiah in Greek is Christos, from which we get the word Christ. Jesus is the promised Messiah. The word Messiah means anointed one. Priests and kings were anointed for the office, as when Moses poured the anointing oil on Aaron's head, according to Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 12. It is a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming upon the person. The idea of anointed one, Mashiach or Messiah, is that Jesus was anointed by God to be king. And when he comes again, across his garment and his side will be written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16. Let's look at verse 3 and hear what it says here from Pastor Chuck Smith, and then I'll go to the Life Application Study Bible and see what it says there. Faith is the only work God requires of us. And check John chapter 6 and verse 29. And love motivated the works of the Thessalonian believers. They walked with patience for the return of Christ and the establishment of his kingdom. Now, let's look at the application, Life Application Study Bible, and let's look at verse 3. And it says, the Thessalonians had stood firm when they were persecuted. You'll see it in chapter 1, verse 6, chapter 3, verse 1 to 4, 7 and 8. Paul commended these young Christians for their work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, and endurance inspired by hope. These characteristics are the marks of effective Christians in any age. Verse 5. The gospel came with power. It had a powerful effect on the Thessalonians. Whenever the Bible is heard and obeyed, lives are changed. Christianity is more than a collection of interesting facts. It is the power of God to everyone who believes. What has God's power done in your life since you first believed? Verse 5. The Holy Spirit changes people when they believe the gospel. When we tell others about Christ, we must depend on the Holy Spirit to open their eyes and convince them that they need salvation. God's power changes people, not our cleverness or persuasion. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, our words are meaningless. The Holy Spirit not only convicts people of sin, but also assures them of the truth of the gospel. Paul wrote, "You know how we lived among you. For your sake, the Thessalonians could see that what Paul, Silas, and Timothy were preaching was true because these men lived it." Does your life confirm or contradict what you say you believe? Let's see. Verse 6 here says, the message of us, our salvation, though welcomed with great joy, brought the Thessalonians severe suffering because it led to persecution from both Jews and Gentiles. You check chapter 3, verses 2 to 4, and also check Acts chapter 17 and verse 5. Having believed the gospel message and accepted new life in Christ, apparently many Thessalonians believed that they would be protected from death until Christ returned. Then, when believers began to die under persecution, some Thessalonian Christians started to question their faith. Many of Paul's comments throughout this letter were addressed to these people as he explained what happens when believers die. As we look at verses 9 and 10, all of us should respond to the good news as the Thessalonians did. And what did they do? Turn to God, serve God, and wait for his Son, Christ, to return from heaven. We should turn from sin to God because Christ is coming to judge the earth. We should be fervent in our service because we have little time before Christ returns. We should be prepared for Christ to return because we don't know when he will come. And lastly, Paul emphasized Christ's second coming throughout the book, because the Thessalonian church was being persecuted, Paul encouraged them to look forward to the deliverance that Christ would bring. A believer's hope is in the return of Christ, our great God and Savior, according to Titus 2 and verse 13. Our perspective on life remains incomplete without this hope. Just as surely as Christ was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, he will return. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. Let us pray. Almighty God and the most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Father, we come to you, dear Lord Jesus, this morning, giving you glory, giving you praise, giving you honor. Father, we thank you for your word. And dear Father God, as we look at the comments that we read, dear Lord Jesus, Father, I pray that each one of us would be encouraged, dear Lord, that Jesus, who, when these men of Galilee were gazing up into heaven, and the angel could have said to them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus will return, and we will be caught up, if we are alive, to meet him in the air. Dear Father God, you will not punish us with the wicked. And so we say thank you, dear Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word that reassures us, dear Lord, that we will be out of this place. We will not, dear Father God, be in the great tribulation when the wrath of God and a Christ rejecting world is poured out, because we know it would be inconsistent with your nature to pour out your wrath, dear Father God, and your church, according to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, and the discourse we looked at in Genesis 18 verse 20 to 32, as we look, dear Father God, at Abraham's, as he reasoned with you, dear Father God, to spear persons when you were taking out Lot, dear Father God. Father, we thank you that we have all of these examples to look back at. Father God, I just bring to you your all who listen. Father God, it's so encouraging to know that that your word is being sent all over the world, Father God. And thank you for the reports, dear Father. Even the report that I got last night, dear Father God, from a friend in Christ. Oh, Father God, I pray that you, dear Father God, would use your word, dear Father God, to strengthen, to encourage, dear Lord Jesus, persons across the world who listen. Father, we thank you for every single person who continues to send out, dear Father. Some would be sending to 15 people, 10 to 20, to so many people, dear Father God. And we're just so grateful for using your word, Father God, to encourage Bible study and to encourage a closer walk with you. Father God, I bring every single one before you, Lord. I pray for their families. Lord, I pray, dear Father God, for salvation for those who don't know you as Lord and Savior. Father God, I bring those, dear Father God, who are crying out to you, dear Father, for physical needs, for spiritual needs, oh, dear Father, for emotional needs, dear Father God. Father God, for provision in any way. Lord, for those who are crying out for healing. Lord, Father God, I bring them to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask you, Father God, to touch them, to heal them, to provide for them according to your will. Father, we thank you, Lord, in spite of what is happening in the world with this pandemic, dear Father God, we thank you that you are bigger than any problem we can or cannot see. And Father, we thank you for the prayers that you have answered in the mighty name of Jesus, for those silent prayers, dear Father God, that you have openly, dear Lord Jesus, answered, dear Father, and those that you have answered but they are not open, dear Lord, we thank you. Father, we bless you this morning. We honor you and we give you all the glory. Thank you for all that you have done and all you'll continue to do. We give you all the glory and praise. Have your divine way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Remember, God loves you and I love you.